to listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to the second of a three-part program on the life and times of Shirley Howard. In part one we learned that Shirley was brought up in an environment of care but little love. As a teen she met a boy who took a fancy to her, but he ended up raping her and she gave birth to a child. Her mother forced her to give up the baby and then basically disowned her. When Shirley returned home because of a lack of somewhere to stay, her mother simply refused to speak to her. Eventually, she meets and gets engaged to a young career soldier, Tex. In this program, we learn about their marriage and Tex's posts, including one to Port Moresby. They move base after base, inside Australia, outside Australia, have children, but the stress becomes too much for Shirley. They separate, and when one son, Travis, is severely injured in a car accident, Shirley moves to Melbourne with him, while Tex, who is in Darwin, has their other son. Eventually they divorce and Shirley has to care for Travis and so begins working again. We pick up the story of life at home with a mother and why there was a change in a mother's attitude to her because of the brothers and sisters leaving, but mostly because Shirley was now engaged to Tex.
My sister had left home with her boyfriend, and my brother Norman had gone and joined the army, and my older brother, he'd gone his way too, so I was left home with Mum and Dad, and everything was calm, and it was
so
very nice.
So all of a sudden things changed?
Yes.
Did that confuse you, or were you just pleased that it had changed?
I was pleased.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because it must have been quite confusing for a while that your parents kept saying, we want you back, but then they never really connected or wanted to know that you...
That's right.
Confusing for you.
I was. Very confusing.
But now you're engaged to Tex, so your parents warm to Tex as well, or just...
That's right.
They like Tex.
Because Dad being a POW in the army...
He related.
Yes. Straight away he related.
Right.
Dad really liked him, yeah. So that was one mountain I got over quite quickly, which was great.
Oh, I bet it was.
Mm.
Talking about Tex and his time in Vietnam, it wasn't a pleasant place to be. Did Tex ever share any stories with you about his stay there?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What sort of experience did he have? Was it a positive one, or did he come back dismayed at what he saw?
No, he came back a better man.
He did?
Yes, no, he was a very, very level-headed type of person. He, as I said, didn't see any fighting, but they used to live in tents over there, nobody knew. Tents stacked up and as you would on a bivouac or something in the middle of Australia somewhere, you know? Yeah.
Yes. So you and Tex didn't get married till he'd finished his time in Vietnam?
No, that's right. We didn't get married till 1971.
Right.
January.
Did he stay in the army or had he left the army?
Oh, no, he stayed.
He stayed? Where did you get married then?
At Eltham.
At Eltham? Mm-hmm. Was that a good day?
Oh, it was wonderful, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful day.
And where did you go to live?
We got married on the Saturday. We had to be up in Sydney by the next week because he was starting his sergeant's qualifications. So we packed up the trailer and off we went from Eltham, and that was the finish of Eltham for me.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Was it your first journey interstate?
Oh, no. His parents came from Broken Hill, so I'd been into New South Wales already.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you connect with his parents? Or did they connect with you, might be the better question.
No, because I was a city girl and...
Really?
They're very shallow people out there in Broken Hill in them days. Very
right.
Shallow.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet they managed to bring up a boy like Tex who you didn't find shallow.
Well, he went into the army at 15 and I think he knew what abandonment was because they sent him off from Broken Hill to Balcombe College, Balcombe Army Camp.
So in some ways you had a similar... circumstances,
yeah. That's
didn't
right.
you?
That's correct, yes.
That must have helped a bit in terms of, because I'm sure you both talked about your lives.
Oh, yes.
That must have helped with that connecting.
That's right.
Shared experiences, yeah. What was life in Sydney like? Because that would have been different.
Oh, yeah, it's fast moving. We didn't have children straight away because I didn't want to have children straight away.
I can understand that.
So I got a job at the 10-pin bowling centre. I used to control 24 lanes, 10-pin bowling, and all the centre and all that. So that was good. Kept my mind off things.
Mm.
And he was doing his sergeant's qual and all that. So that went on for 8 or 9 months. Then we got posted back to Puckapunyal for 8 weeks or 10 weeks. And then we moved on back to Mornington. And then he went back to Beltham again.
Goodness me, life, an army wife's life, never, always on the move.
Oh, yes. And so I had my next baby in 1973 in April in Mornington, and that was Ashley. Yeah, so that was a nice experience.
I can't imagine what it must have been like for you when you knew you were pregnant. Did it affect you because of what had happened previously, or had you managed to wipe that and just enjoy that new experience?
It didn't affect me really, because I knew my husband was with me. I knew that he wasn't going anywhere. I knew that I had security, and it was different entirely.
Yeah, and this time you're holding your baby.
That's right.
Yeah. That must have been a magic moment for you.
It was, yes.
How many other children did you have?
Ashley was born in April 73 in Mornington. Then we, when he was 15 months of age, we got a post into New Guinea.
Oh.
So we ended up in Port Moresby with another promotion. So we went off to Port Moresby. And we stayed up there until, that was July 74. And then we stayed up there till about October 76. Yeah.
That we talked about how Sydney would have been different to Melbourne, yeah. But going to Port Moresby must have been like going to another planet.
It was, yes.
Was it a good other planet or not?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were the army, so we were looked after and all that. And they have a lot of respect for the Australian people, men in uniform and all of this, because they do roads up there. They do all this sort of thing and help put water onto hospitals and such.
What was your life like up there? Important.
Well, it was all right, but I had a miscarriage and I was only 4 months pregnant, so the baby had to be disposed of, so that wasn't good. And then I got a job and I was working for an Australian couple who had a genery up there, so put Ashley into a kindergarten and I went to work.
What were you doing?
Selling jeans and all that sort of thing. In
Port Moresby?
Yeah. There's no import duty in Port Moresby, so all the jeans coming in 74, the Wrangler jeans and all those Indian tops, all sorts of things, yeah.
Was it a job that you did because you had to earn, or was it a job you did and you enjoyed?
I had to have a job to keep my mind busy.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all the turmoil's going on again.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then my father died in the August. I'd only been up there 6 weeks, and we couldn't get back home. We had all our monies tied up in Melbourne here. And then those, you just couldn't get that willy-nilly. Yeah. So what went on there was I just worked through it again. So I didn't get home just to see,
So you weren't able to get back for the funeral?
No. Because I wasn't well. But if I had to come back, I might would have had a miscarriage on the plane or something.
It might have been worse.
It was the same day.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah, same.
So sometimes things happen for a reason, don't they?
That's right.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Shirley Howard, and Shirley is recollecting key events from her life.
Your father passing, you had such a mixed childhood with your parents.
Oh, yes.
Did that leave a hole for you then when he passed away? Or...
Well, he was 73 and he'd had emphysema and all that sort of thing because he was a chain smoker. a gambler, not a drinker, though never no drink was allowed in the house. And he just lived his life how he wanted to live it.
Oh, okay. Just lived it to the fullest then?
Well, for gambling and smoking, okay. Yeah. When I was 10, he used to send me down to the tab at Eltham with a list of horses and maybe a $20 note or a £20 note.
Yes.
And I'd go and hand it to the man, and he'd just give me the tickets to go back home to Dad. And he said, when the man gives you the tickets, you hold them in your hand, sure, don't let him go. I've got a little hand. I mean, I've got...
You have got little hands, that's right.
So, anyway, I was the only one who trusted.
But that was a big responsibility, because I bet you hell would have broken loose if you lost them.
And then I had to buy them for tobacco and...
Oh, goodness.
Sometimes I had to cart the chicken feed up the road to, pallets, chicken pallets. Yeah.
So Dad passes away. You have a miscarriage. You're working, though. Did that stay very long, or when Tex's time was up, was that a quick stay there, or were you there?
Well, there was 1976 from 74. So what happened, though, was I did not... what I mean is, he had to come back to Australia in the January, and we'd only been up there six months. And he knew this. He had to come back for his qualifications to become a warrant officer first class. So I was stuck up there with this baby, Ashley, the 15-month-old. So I thought, oh, God, here we go again. Well, I had the other ladies around me from the engineers and all that. You know, their husbands were there or they weren't home. It's a very lonely life being a army wife. Anyway, what happens is, he came back to Sydney for about 2 months in the January through, and so he didn't come back till March, it could have been, whatever. So I'm stuck up there with this baby and working and doing all this, you know. And then he came back home, and then we had my next son in December 1975.
Was that another joyous moment?
Oh, it was a wonderful baby, Travis. It was wonderful. But I didn't expect to be having a baby up there. I really didn't.
No, an unexpected addition to the family.
No, I wouldn't do it again.
No, I bet you wouldn't.
But,
But eventually you come back to Australia.
In September 76.
Did Tex come up to get you, or did you have to come back alone?
Oh, yeah, he came back after the course. He was after 3 months of being in Australia.
And then he's posted back to Australia.
Yeah, in September 76.
Back to Melbourne?
No, I went to Sydney, Holsworthy.
Okay.
Holsworthy Army Camp.
You lived on base?
Oh, yes, because he was essential services.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it like on an army base for a wife? Is it regimented, or do you have a lot of flexibility with your time?
No, it's regimented. You've got everybody segregated from the officers to the sergeants, and then you've got the corporals and the privates below you again in different sort of housing.
It's almost like a social thing out, you know, you've got Toorak and you've got Malvern and you've got, the Western suburbs.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had house staff and nannies and all that my boys had and all that in the barracks at Murray Barracks in Port Moresby.
That must have been a bit of a help.
It was. Augusta and Papua New Guinea, they were a wonderful couple to have. He did the garden, she did the inside, and it was wonderful. The husbands were never home much.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So you've either got to connect with the wives of the other NCOs.
Yeah, I'm still friends with those wives these days.
You kept those friendships?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Some of them have died, but the ones that are alive, we're still connected,
That's fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They're the better moments in life, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So how long were you at Holsworthy for?
8 months. And he come home one day and he says, do you want to go down and see your mother? I said, yeah, I'll go for a holiday to see Mum in Melbourne. Oh, he said, no, we're getting posted back to Melbourne Vic Barracks. So the army come in again, pack everything up, and we're off to Melbourne. So we stayed down here for 2 years, nearly, the 70, 78, 79. Then we bought a home in Edithvale. 1979. Yeah.
Going back to seeing your mum, because a period had passed, did the relationship between you change, or was it still distant?
Oh, distant. Oh, yeah.
Still distant.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't get in. No, she was always distant.
Right. So you built your first home outside of the army.
That's right. That was wonderful.
I was going to say, at last, it's your home.
Oh, yes. And we did that up, and then he comes home again. He said, do you want to go back to New Guinea? And I thought, this is the end of 1979, coming up to 1980. And I says, the boys were at school at Edith Vale. And I thought, no. Anyway, what happens is I agreed to go. And that was up in Mendy in the Southern Highlands, 10,000 feet above sea level. We lived with the army camp up there.
Whoa, that's a different lifestyle.
Different, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The boys had to come up with you, of course.
Oh, yeah, the whole family went.
So pull them out of school, leave your home.
No, it was an international school the boys went to up there, so it was good gradings.
And meeting kids from other backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. What about you, though? You keep finding your roots, you keep making friends, and you keep getting moved on.
That's right.
Were you up there long enough to make friends?
2 years again.
2 years.
Yeah, it was a 2 year posting there.
And then off again.
Came back to Melbourne. We came back to Australia, and we went straight to Townsville.
Wow.
Townsville. Okay.
Another army base.
Another army base. Yeah, and it was hot, like Port Moresby, and.
Didn't enjoy it?
Oh, well, that's when things started to go pretty wrong in the marriage. Mm.
Look, people meet and they grow together, but they also grow apart, don't they?
Yes, that's right.
And I suspect that's probably what's happened. Yeah. Big strain on a marriage constantly moving. Yeah,
that's right.
You know.
Well, he'd done 20 years up to then, so we thought, I thought he might want to get out of the army and do this and do that, you know.
Mm.
And but he didn't want to. No.
And you'd had enough of the army.
Oh, yeah. It's all this moving. And then it was just chaotic with the boys, having to make new friends and all that. It was all right for me. I can go and join a tennis club, squash, whatever, or 10-pin bowling, because I'm a very sociable person and I know how to connect with people. But the boys were always getting new playmates. And
that's hard.
And the little one, Travis, he was born in Port Moresby, like I said, in December 1975. He wasn't very sociable. The older one was, but not Travis, yeah.
Mm. So did the parting of ways happen up in Queensland?
Townsville,
In Townsville, yes. Was it amicable or was it stressful?
Stressful.
More stressful.
Oh, yeah, it's stressful, yeah.
Always wanting your way, well, yes, I sure won't mind, but all we get at the finish is a troubled mind. The two of us is stubborn, but someone's got to lose, or someone's going to wind up with those lost love blues. Baby, you might be the one to lose, 'cause honey bunch, I never liked the blues. You think you're so smart that you can never lose, but baby, you might wind up with those lost love blues. Also lose your heart, and my dear, that's when Your teardrops will stonewall cause you'll be so lonely. You'll know how it feels to lose. You will be the one who wound up with those lost love blues. Baby, you might be the one to lose. Honey Bunch, your daddy never liked the blues. Oh, you think you're smart, that you can never lose. But baby, you might wind up with those lost love blues.
Listen to older voices, where stories from the past find a home in the present.
But it happened.
It happened, yes.
It happened. What do you do? All of a sudden you've got boys and they're not grown up.
No.
And you don't have a husband and you don't have an income.
No, I was working at the time.
Yeah, but it's that's it's a different thing when you've got a husband who's working, and your son is sole parent. Stay up there or did you come back to Melbourne?
I stayed there for a while and then one day he said, I want to meet you in the cafe in Darwin somewhere in the Darwin Mall. He said, I've got something to talk to you about.
Sorry, Darwin or
Townsville? Oh, sorry, yeah, we're into Darwin now.
Oh, okay, so you left Townsville together and went to Darwin?
No, he went on... up first to Darwin, and then I came up with the boys later.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, what happens is, he says to me, he said, I want to meet you in the Darwin Mall, and he says to me, I want to put the boys in boarding school, and we're going back to New Guinea, you and I, up in the Highlands again. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not putting the boys in boarding school. They were about 10 and 12 at the time or something, you know, something like that. And I said, no. So I got up and walked out to the cafe.
Had you actually divorced at that stage or separated?
No, it was still pending. Yeah,
it was still separated.
We tried to go back 3 times, but it didn't work.
For you, there must have been, whether you were conscious of it or not, it's another matter. You must have been aware when he was talking about putting the boys into boarding school, separating from the parents the way you were separated.
That's right. And I'm going, no.
No, you don't want them to have to go through that.
No.
So how much longer was it before you got your legal divorce?
That came through in 1986.
So there were still a few years.
That's right. Yeah, we tried and tried. It just didn't work.
Didn't work. Now, as I said, people grow apart as well.
Well, for instance, Travis, the young one, he was hit by a car outside our home in 1980. February, so he ended up in the hospital and he had one of his legs, the left one was like a banana.
Oh.
Anyway, what would happen then, that's why we had to go before the board to go back to New Guinea to start with. But he'd had 3 operations in Townsville and Darwin, so none of them knew what they were doing. So he's got all these scars and cutouts. So we ended up back at the children's hospital when it all began. So what happens there is... ended up back in Melbourne after about 1989, yes.
On your own with the boys?
Only with the one of them.
Only with
I had to concentrate on Travis, the one with the bad leg.
Of course you did.
The other one stayed with his father.
That's a big disruption in all your lives. Where were you living? How did you...
Well,
what was happening in your life?
Well, I knew a lot of army people in Mornington.
Oh, okay.
So I came to Mornington, got a unit... And I got working again in hospitality or whatever, waitressing and all
doing
that.
Whatever you had to do.
That's right, yes, that's right. So I had 2 or 3 jobs going, and Travis was at Mornington College by then, but he had to be going in and out of children's hospital as well.
Were they able to fix his leg eventually?
Yes, it did get fixed finally after 3 or 4 operations in Townsville and Darwin.
That's a relief for everybody.
That's right.
Especially a mum. You.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you've really gone out of your way to try and help your son, haven't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Which a mum does. Yes.
Oh, look, you do.
Yeah.
You go to turn over every stone you can to make sure... what's going to happen, and they've got to be right.
It's almost as though you have to work even harder than most mums because you've got this memory of your mum. and you didn't get that support from her.
No.
So it's important for you to give it to them.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, he's back on his feet. You're in Melbourne. Do you go back up north again?
No, I stayed in Melbourne.
What about your other son?
He was with his father. He was at high school in Darwin and doing well with his father. And his father got out of the army eventually and bought a home with a pool and everything was dandy. And actually got working up there with, I think it was Serco or one of those establishments. He's a fitter and turner these days and all that. So he's doing well. He's 45 and Travis is 42.
Goodness me. The years fly, don't they?
Yes.
They're not babies anymore.
No.
Next week in the final program of the story, we learn how Shirley is able to find inner strength to deal with all that life throws at her, and finds and connects with Tony Howard, and how they marry and now have a wonderful life together. That's next week on Listen to Older Voices, the final part of the story of Shirley Howard. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.